Radio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
This is WWE Superstar, The Miz.
The greatest man that ever lived. Always likes a good rant. And you're listening to the greatest rant.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
Bottle boom! Realest guys in a room.
How you know?
It can be anyone but you, man. Anyone but you. And to the rest of the world, say your prayers. Lock your doors. The family has returned. Run.
With your host...
Here, kitty, kitty, kitty. Yeah, kitty, kitty.
You forgot to say please.
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
My boobs are real.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
Bad things happen to bad people, and good things happen to good people. Good people like me. All you have to do is believe!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
She says she's no good with words, but I'm worse. Started out a joke of a romantic stuck to my tongue. Way down with words too overdramatic. Tonight it's a can't get much worse. Worse no one should ever feel like I'm too
cool. And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. I am your host, Lindsay Warren. Joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer, /co-host/handyman, Sir Rockin.
Hey, everybody. How is your Thursday going?
Well, hopefully it's going as good as ours, because we have a lot we gotta get into tonight.
Oh, we do. Before we get into all that, you can follow us on Twitter, @WildTalkRadio, @LindsayWard, @RackRadioShow, and interact with us live. You come to WildTalkRadio.com or RackRadioShow.com and chat with us there. We're streaming live on YouTube. We're streaming live on TuneIn Radio and on, you know, the websites that I just mentioned. We're all over the world.
We're everywhere, y'all.
We're worldwide. We're a worldwide phenomenon. This is The Rack.
And, well, like I said, we got stuff we gotta get into. We have news. We have breaking news for everybody that just came out in the last couple hours. We have notes. We have NXT. We're going to be talking all about the WWE 24 special. And, of course, we cannot forget Table for Three this week. We have a sworn duty to talk about that one, including somebody's table manners. Apparently, he was raised by wolves.
We'll get into it.
We'll get into it. So I say, and we can't forget, good Lord, how could I forget? We have to talk about last night's takeover.
Oh, man, that was a show among shows.
We've been hyping it, we've been waiting for it, we've been super excited, and now, y'all, the wait is over, takeover happened, and we're going to tell you all about it, but a little bit later in the show. I say we jump right into the news brought to you by our friends over at PWMania.com and TNAsylum.net, the haven for TNA fans.
We got to get to the breaking news, and it's, we have a sounder for it. Okay.
We have a sounder.
We have a sounder. Ready?
I'm scared.
Sorry about your damn luck.
I wonder if he's saying that to Dixie Carter right now.
He probably did at the end of July.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, if you haven't heard, the rumors have been swirling about one Cowboy James Storm for the last week. It was believed he was at the NXT live events in Nashville over this past weekend. Which he denies the rumors. People saw him at the show. There is no photographic evidence, though, but people claim he was there. Storm denied it. There have been continued rumors all the way up until last night when Storm was seen entering Full Sail University with Billy Gunn. Again, he denied it up until he released a very mysterious tweet saying 999.
# sorry about your damn luck.
Sorry about your damn luck. And, well, everybody was speculating, could this be true? Could the cowboy be coming to NXT? Well, folks, the waiting is over. The rumors have been confirmed. WWE has announced that Cowboy James Storm has officially signed with the company, and he made his debut tonight at NXT.
This is huge news. And we have to read the statement they put out. Okay.
Yeah, we do.
One night after the critically acclaimed TakeOver Respect special on the WWE Network, NXT has again made waves. James Storm, an 18-year veteran and former heavyweight champion, made his unannounced debut at tonight's NXT TV tapings. He competed in a match that will air on NXT on Wednesday, October 21st, only on the WWE Network. with Hunter tweeting, NXT is the place to be, and showing pictures of one cowboy, James Storm.
This is a really, really, really interesting signing by WWE, especially how they came out previously and said there was nobody from TNA that they wanted. And then, well, mysteriously, Samoa Joe showed up, and now Storm is showing up, so they're slowly getting the people that they actually did want from TNA. Storm, as we know, has been done with the company since July. He was supposed to be on a free agent deal. Gee, I wonder if that extends to WWE.
Remember, he did not sign with WWE. He signed with NXT. Get it right.
It's the same company.
Yeah, I know, right? He's on a free agent deal. Huh.
With TNA.
With TNA Wrestling. Oh, wait. Never mind.
Oh, wait.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, Billy. Sorry. You were wrong about that one.
Yeah. There have been rumors he possibly was going to go to GFW after he was done, but obviously those were false. There are no details in terms of his deal, what he got, what he's going to be doing, how often he will be there. The rumor is that he's shooting to be a coach at the Performance Center and also a player in terms of being a worker. So he's not signing to basically make it to the main roster. I think he's more signing as that next step in his career.
He wants to be that veteran hand who can have some good matches with some of the young talent, help the young talent along, and if it gets his name out there, it gets his name out there, which is a great spot for James Storm to be in, because if you look, he won't fit on the main roster, but he fits in NXT.
Oh yeah, he's perfect for NXT. He's exactly what you said. He's a veteran hand. He's an 18-year veteran. He knows his stuff. He's been around the world. Nothing really phases him. You can put him in there with anybody at any level. He can make him look good. I think this is a great spot for Storm, especially as he's probably looking to cut back on wrestling. He's looking for, honestly, a cushy gig where it's, I can wrestle occasionally, I can help young talent, I can get paid to do it. There's only one place in the world I can do that at, and that's NXT.
Oh yeah, pretty much. There's no other place on earth right now where he can go and be secure. There's no TNA, there's no security. GFW, there's no security. Ring of Honor is Ring of Honor, but he's not a Ring of Honor guy.
No, never has been.
Never has been, never will be, because that's just not, it's not his style, it's not who he is. He's not the prototype for Ring of Honor. He fits what NXT is about. A veteran guy who can help the young guys along. He's not taking anyone's spot. He's here to help. And he probably pursued them more than they pursued him.
Oh, I would agree with that 100%. Yeah, basically he's seeing what Sarah Amato and Adam Pearce and some other people are doing, where it's they're picking up indie talent as trainers and they're having them work with these young wrestlers to help them find an identity and a style that works for them while still fitting in the WWE product. And Storm can contribute to that wholeheartedly.
Yeah, and he's seen what Joe has done and the success Joe has had. And it's just, NXT is the hot brand. It's the place to be. So if you're a guy like James Storm, who is on the tail end of your career, I wouldn't say it's the end of his career, but he has less years than he had, you know, previously.
Yeah, he's 18 years. I agree with that.
He could wrestle for another 7 years, but he doesn't have another 18 ahead of him, is what I'm trying to say. It's the perfect place for him to be, because they tape once every 3 weeks. If he signed a deal to work at NXT, he can work at NXT every now and again, help the young guys along. And just,
here's the thing,
go ahead.
Sorry. For what he would be making at NXT, it's probably more than what he's making for TNA.
Yeah, he had a good run in TNA, but yeah, coming out of what's been restructured in TNA? Oh, yeah. Easily.
Yeah. So it's something, again, nobody knows about the deal. Nobody knows whether he's going to keep the name or not. He obviously debuted as James Storm. Everybody's thinking that he is going to keep it because I believe he owns his name.
You make sense to own a name.
Because obviously he's continued to use it. TNA hasn't asked him to stop.
This makes me wonder. You keep talking. I got to go look at something.
Yeah. Well, the thing is like he's used that name from day one on the indies. I don't think he's really ever deviated from it. So he came into TNA with it. He would have ownership over, or he would have the intellectual property rights over it before he came into TNA. And the same thing extends to WWE, where it's something that you've been using on the indies and you've used it for years, you own it. You have the rights to it. Because they can't go back, 10 years and stop you from using that name. It's, okay, well, and that's why they're changing a lot of people's names. That's why they started doing that. It's because they couldn't get the right to the name.
Right, and for some of them, they want the new name. They want to start a new legacy. Like Asuka, she wanted to start a new name. Finn Balor, he was all for it because he wants to start a new legacy under that name. And when I was looking up, I went to ImpactWrestling.com. James Storm is still a member of the TNA active roster.
Well, when they update their site in 2 years.
He'll be taken down. It's just funny that he's not under alumni. It's just, an MVP is still not under alumni yet.
But anyway, huge story.
It's a huge story. It's one of those, he's not gone. Wait, he just debuted. He went there. He's there. He's on that brand. He is part of that roster. He's going to mold the future of our business. And he's never been a part of the WWE before. It just shows you there are talent out there WWE is willing to work with. They're willing to work with anybody in the right situation.
This is kind of Hunter's perspective on it. He says he wants the best. He wants people that are hungry. He wants people that want to be there. And they're no longer in the situation where they necessarily have to pursue talent. You have talent pursuing them. You have people like Kevin Owens, Finn Balor, the like, coming to them and saying, I want to be here. What do I need to do to be here?
Yeah, I want to be a part of this. We're going to talk about it later with Kevin Owens. He's always like, I want to be there.
Yeah. So, very, very interesting. We'll keep our eye out, let you know as the details progress, what all Storm got and what all he's going to be, if that even comes out.
But once again, NXT.
Sorry about your damn luck.
I wonder if they're going to let him drink.
I do not expect the cowboy to be drinking.
So no Boozer Cruiser?
I do not expect to see the Boozer Cruiser anymore.
I wonder who got that in the divorce, him or Bobby? I've always wondered that. Who got the Boozer Cruiser? What happened to it?
I think Storm has to, I would assume Storm still has some.
Cause I've actually seen them elsewhere. Marketed elsewhere. I've seen Boozer Cruisers and I was like, I want it! Cause I said, oh my god, it's a Boozer Cruiser and nobody knew what I was talking about. It was awesome.
You know.
But staying on the TNA kick.
Uh-huh.
Because we kind of have to talk about it. First, the good news. TNA has announced TV tapings in the UK.
Yeah, the UK tour has now turned to TV tapings. They're going to tape 6 episodes of TV while over in the United Kingdom.
Yay. That's good news. Very good news. So we're getting some TV taped.
Wherever that's not till the end of January. So who knows whether that will air.
So what they do in the meantime, we don't know, but hey, they're taping TV. So that's a solid news. We also need to talk about Bound for Glory because, well, a new TNA World Heavyweight Champion was crowned in one Matt Hardy. Congratulations to him on his big win, even if it was fleeting. I'm just going to let you go on this.
So Matt Hardy became the TNA World Heavyweight Champion. Emotional moment, his baby comes in the ring with him and his wife. Okay, awesome. The next day, the storyline begins where Ethan Carter III files an injunction preventing TNA World Champion Matt Hardy from appearing on television until the controversy was settled. You know, Jeff Hardy being the referee and Matt winning and all that fun stuff. They then announce. Then, Matt Hardy, for the betterment of TNA, gives up the world title. And then they create this world title series, basically based around the World Soccer's World Cup, which is the 32 members of the Impact Wrestling roster competing for the TNA World Championship. The wrestlers will be divided in 8 groups to begin round-robin group play. Winners receive 3 points for wins, a draw receives 1 point, and 0 points for a loss. The top 2 point getters from each group will advance to a field of 16 in a single elimination tournament where the competitor who wins advances and the loser goes home. The ultimate winner of the World Title Series will have to survive the most grueling test in history of wrestling and will crown the true and undisputed TNA World Heavyweight Champion.
Oh god, this sounds more complicated than Ryan Murphy's American Horror Story.
And I thought the Bound for Glory series was complicated.
Good lord! They like to overcomplicate stuff, don't they?
Yes. So let's go through these competitors, shall we?
Okay.
You have Ethan Carter III.
Yay.
Drew Galloway.
Yay.
Mr. Anderson.
Yay.
Anderson. Rockstar Spud.
Yay. Although, well, he's not a heavyweight, but yay.
Austin Aries.
Interesting.
He lost his TNA career, but yet is available to be in this tournament.
Don't bring logic into this.
I'm reading what their thing says. What? Who? How? What? This man lost his TNA career? How did he pull this off? If you watch Impact,
he's Austin freaking Aries. That's how he pulled it off, okay?
Mahabi Shira, with the Shira shimmy dance that he does.
Yay.
Grotto.
No idea who that is.
Bobby Lashley.
Yay.
Aiden O'Shea.
Yay.
Crazy Steve.
Why?
Kenny King.
This surprised me because I actually asked if he still worked for the company.
I swear he left for Ring of Honor. His profile says watch him on Destination America's Ring of Honor.
Yeah, it's like, didn't he leave?
I swear he left. Bram.
Okay, I'm going to let you go on that.
You made this big deal about suspending Bram. You didn't want him to be a part of your company and now he's the full focus promotion in this tournament. Dudes, come on now. Rethink some things. I know you taped this all in July and made this whole big thing, but it's Bram. He's trouble right now, yet he's in your focus of your advertising for this tournament like nothing happened.
Right?
PR-wise, I would think twice about it. Just pointing that one out. Other competitors in this series include Gail Kim, Madison Rain, Awesome Kong, and Brooke Tessmacher.
Okay, I'm gonna give my vote right now. Kong for champ. Put the title on Kong. Do it. Do the thing.
I don't wonder why the women are in it.
I'm okay with Kong in it. Gail Kim, Madison Rain, and who's the fourth one?
Brooke Tessmacher.
I don't understand why they're in it, because they're going to get their butts kicked, especially if you put, like, Brooke Tessmacher up against Bobby Lashley. Now, Kong versus Lashley, that would be interesting.
How it's working is the girls will fight the girls, and two of the girls would then advance into the final 16 or whatever, however the gimmick's working. I don't know. That didn't sound like 32 people, but I don't know.
Maybe they'll have surprises?
I guess so. I don't know. I'm not sure. There's a scorecard. Trying to keep track. I don't get it, but whatever. This thing will take place over the course of many, many weeks.
Conveniently.
And this was their plan. So, this is the whole point of this whole segment. Their plan, all along, was to put the belt on Matt Hardy and strip him of the belt. Render the ring, Bound for Glory, meaningless. If you didn't, like, you should have just kept the title on Ethan Carter III. Or, you know, kept it on Matt Hardy because, you know, oh yeah, we don't want the TNA world title not on TV. Yet, you create a tournament that's gonna go for about 4 months, and you won't have a TNA champion for 4 months. I don't get it.
I don't get it either, but I guess they're trying to build that fever pitch to the next pay-per-view where it's we're finally going to crown a champion. Yay.
Will it be on pay-per-view? Or will they do it in India?
Or will they do it at all?
Who the hell knows? Oh, the one thing, the only part of Impact I've seen so far, or part of the Impact I've seen, Gail Kim didn't come out with her TNA Knockouts title. Why? Because it's not about the TNA Knockouts title. It's about the world title. No, your any champion should always come out with the belts. I know why she didn't, because she didn't have the belt when they taped the match. Still, all champions should come out with the belt at any time.
Yeah, that's, if they're a champion on your brand, they should have their title. Just pointing that out. Couple quick notes as we move out of TNA land. We're happy to announce that Batista got married again. Yay. So congratulations to him. Lita has become the newest WWE producer.
That's big for her.
That's huge.
Yeah, one of her first duties as producer. She was the deciding vote in whether it was called Iron Woman or Iron Man. She went with Iron Man. She was the deciding vote.
Alright, fair enough.
So she's already having an impact.
Yes, she is.
But yeah, she's been on the road for a few weeks now, and she's become a full-time producer, part of creative sort of deal. She's a liaison between the talent, stuff like that.
That makes sense.
It works.
Our WrestleMania travel packages were announced this week. They go from the generally affordable, generally in quotations, to the ridiculously expensive. But hey, on the ridiculously expensive wrestle level, you get to go to a dude ranch with legends.
Yes, we need to talk about that for a second. You get to go to a dude ranch with legends.
Probably Shawn Michaels.
We assume Shawn Michaels.
Because I think he's the only one that can ride a horse.
He's the only one that can go ride a horse. A couple things. The travel packages go on sale on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, October 13th. WrestleMania tickets go on sale Friday, November 6th. So if you want tickets, get ready. But yeah, the Texas Star package goes from $5,875 to $6,625. That includes a WrestleMania ticket, WrestleMania Access, NXT ticket, which will be held at the K. Bailey Hutchison Convention Center Arena in Dallas. You get an exclusive reception with the WWE Superstars prior to the Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame ticket, Raw ticket, the Dude Ranch experience, and hotel and whatever, and go on from there. You have the VIP packages, which is $3,700 and up to $4,700. You have the platinum for almost $2,000 to $2,800. Gold package from starting at $12,000. And silver is at almost $1,100. Bronze is at $575. So there's your cheap package.
Mildly affordable.
Mildly affordable. But for all the for everything you get from the tickets, it's pretty damn, you know.
Yeah, it's probably worth it just for the tickets alone.
So again, tickets go, travel packages go on sale and they run out fast. Starting on Tuesday.
The cheap ones run out fast.
The cheap ones run out fast. Starting on Tuesday, October 13th at noon, and tickets for WrestleMania go on sale in November, on November 6th. So get your monies ready if you're going to WrestleMania.
And well, one person that we're gonna see at WrestleMania, and another big story that came out this week was somebody, a certain dead man, has indicated he wants to work more dates.
He's feeling healthy. He wants to go back on the road, not full-time, not even part-time, just occasionally, like Mexico and other dates like that. You could see the dead man pop up from time to time because he's feeling healthy for the first time in a long, long time.
Which, I'm really, really happy he's feeling healthy. He's feeling good. But part of me kind of wants to, you know, wonder, well, if you're feeling healthy and you're feeling good, maybe you shouldn't get back in the ring. Just a thought.
Just a little thought.
Because, you know, you have a 3-year-old.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You have a 3-year-old, dude. 3-year-old.
Well, you know, it's what he does. He wants to get, he's feeling healthy. He probably wants to work with some young talent and, you know, good on him. He wants to get out.
Oh, yeah.
More Taker on your TV is not a bad thing right now, especially because he's feeling pretty damn good.
Wouldn't mind more Taker Bray Wyatt. I'd be okay with that.
Well, you get Wyatt family versus Taker and Kane coming up in Mexico, so.
I know, I want to go to Mexico. Because I want to see Taker meet Perky Kane. Think about that.
I don't think he's meeting Perky Kane.
Oh my god, it would be awesome though. Taker wouldn't even know what to do with it. He just would stand there and look at him like, what the hell is wrong with you?
Right. Oh.
I go away for 2 months and this happens.
By the way, speaking of Perky Kane, available now at WWEshop.com, the world's greatest director of operations mug.
I'm so buying it when I get paid next week. So buying it. I want it. It will be mine.
It will be yours.
It'll be glorious. And speaking of WWE merch, WWE announced that they're going to be releasing Pez dispensers.
I'm actually kind of excited for this.
It's pretty cool.
Have you seen them?
Yes.
In a partnership with global entertainment company WWE, Pez Candy will introduce a gift set that will include 3 fan favorites. WWE superstar The Rock, John Cena, and The Undertaker. Each set will also include 1 6-pack of Pez Candy. We are very excited to partner with WWE in bringing the likes of 3 of the all-time WWE fan favorites to our top iconic Pez dispensers. WWE fans have long requested this partnership, and we look forward to working with WWE.
Thank you, Pez. Thank you, WWE.
Supposedly it was originally supposed to be Hulk Hogan instead of The Undertaker, but I'm glad it's The Undertaker.
Yeah, very glad.
I kind of want them.
Kind of cool.
I like Pez. Pez is cool.
Pez is cool. But speaking of The Undertaker, you know, as he wants to come back, there's somebody else that wants to take time off. In a shocker of shocks, Mr. 24/7, Hustler, loyalty, respect, never stop. John Cena has requested time off and he will be taking it after Hell in a Cell, and it's rumored Cena may not be back until after Christmas.
That's his next scheduled appearance is after Christmas, and that could even change. It could go on even longer. Who knows? But yeah, this was a story that sort of broke as we were on the air. We did not catch it last week just because we had so much to get to. It's very interesting that John Cena is stepping away, and it's for personal reasons. Has nothing to do with injuries. He's not getting married, because there was speculation. Oh my god, he's taking time off. They're getting married. No.
He could be moving.
He could be moving. He could be moving. Or he just needs to rest. Or something could be happening with his mother or whatever. Who knows?
Well, he has a brother who has cancer, doesn't he?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure.
But yeah, it's for personal reasons. Again, not getting married. Not hurt. He's probably resting up, getting ready for Mania.
And he asked for his time off back in the summer, so this is not like a spur of moment, I need time off right away kind of deal. They've known about it, and this is when this was the agreed upon time frame for him to take off. And it's gonna, we talked a lot last week about WWE needing a new babyface and someone to step up and really become that babyface. This period of time is going to be the time where somebody needs to step up their game.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's John Cena stepping away. He needs to take time off. He's going to recharge his batteries, probably get ready for his run at WrestleMania because this is their slow time. They're sort of winding down before they get ready to go on that road for WrestleMania. So it's if now is your best chance to step up and take that spot. Because here's the thing, Daniel Bryan can't do it. Daniel Bryan's out and there's no guarantee he's ever going to be back. No, if you believe the rumors.
He supposedly was talking to people saying they're going to send him to a third specialist and they're going to break the tie one way or the other for whether he can get back into the ring or not. Who knows when that will be? It could be any time from now or 3-4 months from now. Who knows?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's guys like Dean Ambrose, Dolph Ziggler, Roman Reigns, it's their chance to step up to the plate and they're going to be given the ball to see what they can do. As the number one babyface on the WWE brand on Raw.
Steps back. So, should be an interesting time in WWE.
Oh, it's gonna be a really interesting time. And this is a big story that not a lot of people are really talking about.
Well, I mean, somebody taking a time off, that's not really a surprise. But when it's John Cena, it's like, they're not really given a reason why. It's like, I wonder what's going on here. And he's saying personal reasons. I think there's probably more to it than that. Because you know for him to take this much time, it's big. Whatever it is, it's big.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, going back to the Pez for 1 second. I was just reading through the press release. The suggested retail price for the Pez, $9.99.
Oh, WWE, you're so funny.
You know. Just had to throw that one out there. But anyway.
Haha. WWE. So funny. So clever. $9.99. But, well, I don't have a good tie-in for this. And we'll have to wait and see on Cena. Just to kind of wrap that up.
Yes.
But don't have a good tie-in, but WWE 2K16 has announced its DLC characters.
Oh, good lord.
Oh my goodness. I think I have to rant a little bit on this, but go ahead and read.
Let's go through this. WWE has announced, or WWE 2K16 has announced, their downloadable content offerings for their Season Pass, which will be available at some point. The Season Pass, you get the Accelerator, you get the Legends Pack, which will feature playable WWE Legends, Big Boss Man, Dusty Rhodes, Lita, Mr. Perfect, Roddy Piper, and Trish Stratus. That packet alone will be $8.99. The Accelerator is $1.99. The Hall of Fame Showcase includes matches for Randy Savage versus Jake Roberts, Rikishi versus The Rock, Alondra Blaze versus Paige, Zabisco and Anderson taking on Ricky Dragon Steamboat and Dustin Rhodes, Tatsumi Fujinami versus Ric Flair, The Bushwhackers versus The Natural Disasters, Typhoon and Earthquake, The Outsiders Hall of Nash versus Harlem Heat, that's for $9.99, there'll be a new Moves pack, and a Future Stars pack for $7.99 featuring Samoa Joe, Diego, Fernando, Blake, and Murphy. Like I said, the Season Pass comes with the Accelerator, Legends Pack, Hall of Fame Showcase, New Moves, and Future Stars Pack, which is a lot different than last year's offering where the Season Pass only included a couple things, and then you had to buy all the other additional packs that they kind of didn't tell you up front, or they worded it a certain way. One other thing is called the My Player Kickstart for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Players will gain instant access to boost creator superstar ratings and attributes in the My Career mode. That's for $9.99. That is not a part of the Season Pass. Now, you have Joe in the game, Lindsay, but not the Four Horsewomen. We've been saving this story.
We've been saving the story for a rainy day, because basically WWE and 2K said, well, as much as we wanted to get the Four Horsewomen, Sasha Banks, Bayley, Charlotte, and Becky Lynch into WWE 2K16, timing didn't work out. Which is a little suspect, because they were scanning people in NXT. It would make sense that Charlotte and Becky and Sasha and Bayley have all been scanned.
They have been scanned, and they put out a statement. It takes only 5 to 10 minutes to scan people, but it's doing the commentary and everything else for the entrances and all the animations. Explain Samoa Joe.
Yeah. See, that's where it all keys in. It's like, okay, well, maybe I get that. I almost buy the timeline of, oh, well, you didn't have enough time, even though these girls have been turning in fantastic matches for over a year, and all the buzz has been around them for a year now. But okay, fine. You wanna feed me the BS excuse of we didn't have time? Okay. Until you announce Samoa Joe, who's been in the company less than 6 months. Somehow he makes the game, but the girls don't.
Because, you know, it's about doing commentary and his moves and everything like that. So you had time to do Joe, but you couldn't do Charlotte, Becky Lynch, Bayley, and Sasha Banks, who are the talk of the industry for the last 6 weeks.
You had Bayley and Sasha turn in match of the year.
And then secondary match of the year.
And then secondary match of the year this past week. So you're really gonna say to me, oh well, you know, yeah, we're gonna put Joe in the game when Joe really hasn't done a whole lot yet, but you can't put in the NXT Women's Champion, either Sasha Banks or Bayley, or Charlotte. You can't put in Becky Lynch, you can't put in Alexa Bliss.
You know what? I'm very disappointed. And here's the reason why. Because I like recreating matches. And what's the match of the year? Sasha Banks and Bayley. I can't recreate that unless I create those characters.
For me, it's more, I'm not a gamer. Okay? I have admitted this several times. I'm not a gamer. Not into it. Really don't like it, actually. But the idea of being able to play as Bayley, or Becky, or Sasha, or Charlotte, or Alexa, or Carmella, any of the NXT divas, is highly attractive to me. Same thing goes for playing for the majority of the female wrestlers on the main roster as well. But the thing is, that's never been attractive is they don't put a lot of the women in the games. And the women can never really do much in the games. It's like, you know, we've talked to them about this, where the women can't really interfere in the matches. They can't get a chair. They can't do this. They can't do that. They're really limited. So it's like, why do I want to play with a character that's limited when I, you know, it's like, why would I pay, one, to get a system, and two, to get the game, if the characters I want to play as can't do anything? And so it was like, it was kind of this hope with 2K16 that it's like, okay, well, you know, they're saying this is going to be the biggest roster ever, 120-something people, right?
Yeah.
120-something people in this game. Biggest roster to date. You cannot get the NXT Divas on there. You can't do it because you claim timing, but that's crap because you had Joe in there.
Yeah, I bought your excuse of you can't do it with the commentary and the moves, and I get all that. I get all that. I understood it. I was disappointed, but I understood it. Cause you could say you scanned them because it takes only a few minutes. I get you scanned them, but you couldn't do the commentary and everything. Fine. Got it. Cool. Then you put Joe in the game. He's not been around. He debuted, what, May?
Yeah.
That kind of threw your deal off. I knew they were trying hard to get Joe in the game. I knew they were. But I always assumed the girls were in the game. And it's just, it's really disappointing. And I think that's my biggest thing. I'm disappointed that it'll take me another year to get them actually in this game.
Yeah, I mean, at the very least, it's like when they didn't get announced for the main game, it's like, okay, well, maybe there'll be DLC. Maybe they'll do a Four Horsewomen pack, because it's kind of, okay, they want you to spend as much money as possible in this game, so let's do a Four Horsewomen DLC pack and see how many people buy it.
I would have paid $10 for them.
But they didn't do it, which is really, really shocking.
There's a golden opportunity, and they just missed it.
And once again, I get they plan out who they're going to have in the game up until a certain point, and then there's the cutoff.
But then there's Joe.
Like, that's the thing. Charlotte and the rest have been there for over a year. They've been turning in these matches for over a year, and you're going to sit there and tell me, oh, well, you know, yeah, it's a timing issue, blah, 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 but here's Samoa. Like, what?
And they don't have him fully created yet. They're still working on building Joe out and probably adding in the commentary for him since he's, you know, he's DLC and he'll probably be one of the last DLCs in there. It's like, you could have found time for the girls. You really could have.
And I don't know. I still have hope that maybe they will.
No, they're not.
Yeah,
they're not.
That hope's fading.
They've squashed all hope. It's not happening. It's very, very disappointing. Thank God people are good at creating the characters and you could probably get them in the game somehow, but it's not the same. You don't get their full entrance. You don't get Bailey and her, the floatable men doing the hand thing. You don't get Sasha Banks' awesome entrance. You don't get her music. You don't get anything. You just gotta deal with it. And it's really disappointing because, again, you want to be able to recreate those moments you watch on television with this game and, you know, biggest roster ever, you could do a lot of it. But the girls are the big story right now, and I got a feeling they're going to be the big story for the next year or two. And, you know, the next year are going to provide a lot of cool moments that you want to recreate that you just won't be able to unless you create them yourself. And that's,
yeah.
It's very, as a person who only buys a few video games, I'm very disappointed in the fact. I like everything else about the game, but this one thing just has me disappointed.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Completely agree with that. But on that note, I say we take a break.
No, we got one more story.
We got one more story?
Yeah, the Total Divas story.
Oh, I'm trying to ignore that. Because, you know, Total Divas got announced, and, well, Naomi is not on the show.
Naomi's not on the show. Rosa Mendez is back on the show. The filming will be airing in early 2016 will be the season 5. Go back and listen to our episode of, you know, season finale, episode 13, right now, rockradioshow.com. And they've added Mandy to the roster.
Which everybody, me included, are going, why? Why are you adding her? Why are you doing this? Why would you take Naomi off and replace her with Mandy? It doesn't make sense beyond, oh, well, maybe they need Eva to tool around with somebody.
Maybe they needed a new rookie, and Eva's not the rookie anymore since she made her long-awaited television debut. I don't know the reason, and I think Naomi was replaced by Rosa. Just called a hunch.
Which, yes, that's a good idea. Let's put a pregnant woman on TV.
Because congratulations to Rosa. Spoiler alert for Total Divas fans. She gets engaged.
Yay.
No, she was surprised by her boyfriend in Paris today. That he flew all the way over to Paris because the girls were doing a trip to Paris, and he surprised her and popped the question.
Aww.
There's one congratulations to Rosa for that. That's kind of a big deal.
That is a huge deal. I'm happy for her. I know she's waited for this day for a long time, so good for her.
Yes, she has. That's for damn sure.
But yeah, so we'll have to see how Mandy does. It's kind of like,
By the way, flag on the play as the Houston Texans attempt to score. There's your football, people. Football.
Yes, there's football tonight. We need to talk football, too. We'll give you an update after the break, but we'll have to see again how Total Divas goes. But I will miss Mommy Naomi a great deal because she's awesome.
She is awesome.
But on that note, I say we take our first break of the evening.
Let's go.
And when we come back, we are going to be talking all about the WWE specials, WWE 24, NXT Brooklyn, and Table for Three with Dean Ambrose, Cesaro, and Kevin Owens. We'll give you the recap on those. You don't want to miss that. Also, Tweet of the Week. Definitely don't want to miss that. So this is The Rack on WildTalkRadio.com. We will be right back.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com.
Again, the web address is pwmania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is pwmania.com.
This is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Anyway, with that being said, you've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Wait, hold on. Let me.
Why do you always get to end it, goddammit? You are the producer, goddammit. You're not the host of the show. Will is the producer of the show. Producer of the show.
Shut up. For the trunk, Rob Parks.
Why does Rob Parks still do it? We waited forever to Rob come, for Rob to come back, and now you're not even going to let him have the outro?
Okay, let Rob.
Okay, come on. I dressed up for this show. God damn it. You know how hard it is to find a wife beater in my size? For William S. McConnell, and for, unfortunately, the lone jobber, and for the lone producer who doesn't do really much.
Oh, wait.
I am your host with the most, the godfather of extreme, Big. Wow. I insulted myself real bad. Wow. Alright, oh, everyone who was listening to that, forget about it. Forget. Wow. God damn it, jobber.
What I do?
Right. I'm Bob Hunt, your godfather of trade, for whoever the hell Big Daddy Ace was. Peace!
Whether you're a badass, a godfather, or something in between, the answer is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Live, midnight Eastern Time, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, suplex city, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not going to sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles! Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axel Mania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And now we're here to talk all about the WWE Network specials. But before we get there, wait for it. Tweet of the Week.
To be the kind of person spending time on my space until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Alrighty. Before I start, because I went through Sheamus's Twitter, I just want to say I can't tell who's more in love with his ass, him or the fangirls.
Oh no. Oh no. Let's go for it.
Gabe Sapolsky. Hey, Fight Owens Fight. My kid named you as the only wrestler he doesn't like. Guess he's like dad since I didn't book you. To which Kevin Owens replies, if your son was on Twitter, I'd block him. Somebody asked, Kevin Owens, what is it with you and eyes? And Kevin Owens replies, says the guy wearing sunglasses indoor in his profile pic. 2-time Divas Champion. I'm tired of you getting these Kelly Kelly roll-up wins, Fight Owens Fight. And he goes, Kelly Kelly never rolled up anybody as good as I do. How dare you? John Cena. Tonight Raw from TD Garden will host the US Open Challenge. Who will seize the opportunity for excellence? To which Sheamus replied, maybe not tonight, John Boy. I've got me eye on something else. An aperitif. This is visual, so I'm going to have to describe it for everybody that doesn't have the technology screens. In the episode of The Simpsons where they're looking for the alien and it's Mr. Burns in the woods after he's had his treatment done, the I Bring You Love, Sheamus says, inspiration for my entrance lighting, hashtag I Bring You Love, and it's a picture of the glowing Mr. Burns. Somebody says, shut up, Sheamus, you boring patty, can't wait until Brock Lesnar F5 you to hell, and he goes, F5 you old mama. The Sheamus hairstyle pieces me off, he replies, it pieces me off too, bro, really. And finally, Kevin Owens. Bailey, haven't you learned anything? When someone hands you flowers in the ring, you hurl them out of there as quickly as possible. And that's all I got.
Sasha Banks tweets, put me over at Scott Dawson WWE. He replies, you're the best I've ever seen, period. Dillinger co-signs on this, okay?
Okay.
Bailey goes, dude! Sad face, crying emoji.
You made Bailey cry.
Someone named Mark with the handle Joe tweets, Simon Gotch, have you had to block some unfortunate soul yet? To my shame, yes. A former fan turned rotten by their own need to feel unique without any personal accomplishment. Aiden English, responds to a tweet. Would you ever have a manly match with or someone tweeted Gotch and Aiden English replied, would you ever have a match with manly match with WWE Drama King Aiden English? Aiden replied, I don't know any other kind of match we could have.
Who's the manliest?
Yeah. Someone tweeted to Drama King, how can not be as manly as you? He replied, how is certainly not. But ever since who stole first, I've had my eye on him.
Oh my.
Someone tweeted, Summer Gotch, any tips on how to get you a stash like yours? Be manly.
Thanks, Simon.
John Gonzalez, maybe the hurricane will take a left turn and delay the rest of this game. Sarah Baker, oh my god, a long throw and a catch. Faints. We then throw an interception right afterwards. Fake ESPN, FEMA Disaster Recovery Center in Houston currently being flooded with calls from Texans fans. Not SportsCenter. Cowboys injury report, Sean Lee out, concussion. Lance Dunbar out, knee. Bryce Butler out, hamstring. Cowboys fans blacked out, tequila.
Yep. Yep. Basically.
WWE Universe. Renee Young is a great interviewer, but wants none of Fight Owens Fight's tag team match. Raw pre-show. She replies, I'm all for helping a brother out, but I don't know that I'm really cut out to for the hot tag. Sorry, Fight Owens Fight. Keep it 5-star. Triple H, Seth, do unto others as they do unto you. Rollins, you're talking about Katie Vick? No, I'm not talking about Katie Vick, said Triple H. Stephanie McMahon, keep it 5-star. Stephanie McMahon with the I thought I told you to clean your room attitude towards the New Day. She did have that attitude.
She did, yeah.
Keep it 5-star. If Sasha Banks wins this match, she should be added to WWE 2K16. Take out Cameron. I'm sure no one will mind.
Cameron might.
No one else. Keep it 5-star. Dolph Ziggler is busy making out with Nikki Bella. He forgot his cue. Hashtag Raw. Keep 5-star. Dolph Ziggler is legit playing the role of a non-playable character in a video game that you have to avenge/rescue. Hashtag Raw. ProWrestling.net. How many rules does the NFL have that 99% of the fans have never ever heard of? Les Bowen. Guessing tomorrow's sports talk radio topic. If you saw Hitler and Chip drowning in a pond, which one would you try to save? Lana. When Rusev Bull was with me, he was undefeated. Super athlete. Where Summer Rae has taken his career? Where has, Summer Rae taken his career? She made him gentle, which equal loser. Someone named Wild Talk Radio tweeted, is Ethan Carter making the right decision by taking legal action against TNA over the TNA World Championship? Ethan Carter replied, yes. Had to throw that one in there. AJ Brooks, there could be a portal to another dimension on top shelf in the kitchen, and I would never frickin' know. And finally, keep it 5-star. WWE Network presents How to Get Away with Murder, starring Asuka and Dana Brooke. Hashtag NXT Takeover. Which we'll get into here in a little bit.
We will, but now we're going to jump into the two WWE Network specials that debuted this week. One was WWE 24, where it took us behind the scenes of NXT Brooklyn, and the other was Table for Three. Which one do we want? Do we want Table Manager to be kicked in the feels?
You're the host, so you lead us.
Let's do the Table Manners first.
Okay, talk about it.
All right, first of all, if y'all have not watched this, go watch it. It is 45 minutes or however long it is. I think it's 30 or 45.
23 minutes.
23 minutes? Damn it, I wanted it to be 45.
We all wanted it to be 45, but it was only 23 minutes.
There's only 23 minutes. It is a glorious 23 minutes. It is amazing. Basically, you take Kevin Owens, Cesaro, and Dean Ambrose, you stick them in the middle of a very nice restaurant, and you just film them talking for however long they were there. So I know there's more content than what they put out.
Oh, yeah.
2 minutes into it, you realize you cannot take Dean Ambrose anywhere because he was raised by wolves. He walks in a t-shirt and jeans, and he's like, oh, I didn't realize you were supposed to dress up. Meanwhile, Cesaro's in a button-down shirt. Owens is in a button-down shirt. They're in slacks, and Ambrose is like, sup? Like, he just rolled out of bed and showed up, which is awesome. They set the food down, and he starts eating asparagus with his hands, asking if, hey, doesn't this make your piss burn?
Yeah, this happened.
We also learn that Bo Dallas is a terrible driver, which we kind of already knew.
You need to explain the backstory to that.
Okay, so in interviews, Dean has talked about Bo as a driver, and basically Bo gets distracted easily. So he'll be driving the car, and he'll turn around and take his eyes off the road and be talking to people in the back seat while he's still driving, and he's, like, swerving in traffic and everything. So basically, Bo is not allowed to drive when anybody else is in the car.
Right, and the story they were telling is when the Shield broke up. Who got Bo? Dean and Roman?
Dean and Roman got Bo.
Dean and Roman got Bo when the Shield broke up because Seth was riding with
Cesaro.
Because Cesaro was riding with Dean, Roman, and Seth, but they can't be seen together since the Shield broke up.
Right. So it's, okay, well, gotta do something. So Dean and Roman and Bo are getting ready to leave the arena. They're pulling away and oops, somebody forgot to put gas in the car.
Damn it, Bo.
And so they're sitting outside like a bunch of dorks per Dean signing stuff because they can't get away because the car is out of gas, and Cesaro and Seth go cruising by, and Cesaro's like, oh yeah, you really were the architect, weren't you?
Because clearly Bo Dallas wasn't.
Because clearly Bo Dallas didn't think about putting gas in the car, and neither did Dean, and neither did Roman.
Well, you know, they've never been called the smartest of the bunch.
No, they haven't. No, they really haven't, but yeah. It's 23 minutes of wrestlers sitting there shooting shit, telling stories. I love the one about Kevin Owens where he's like talking about how his son is a huge John Cena fan and, you know, his son has a John Cena wrestle buddy and he left it in Owens' bedroom one day. And so Owens was like, oh, I'm going to hit it. And he starts punching it to make noise. And his son came in and he's like, what are you doing? And Kevin's like, oh, I'm just practicing.
I love the behind the scenes stories they were telling. They were also talking about, you know, being just, there's no one that can match them. There's no place for else them to go because they all want to be here. Cause, you know, Cesaro doesn't care. He knows he's moving up in the world. He finally got to work at WrestleMania, even though it was a pre-show. He worked WrestleMania this year.
Yep.
So it's like, he's gaining traction. Like, people think, oh, they just want to leave and go somewhere else. No, why would they go anywhere else? The guys they were working with on the indie scene, they're all there.
Yeah, it's like, there's nowhere else for them to go. And they say that this is it. But what I liked was it shows how hungry Dean is and how hungry Kevin is and how hungry Cesaro is, because it's like Cesaro's sitting there going, all right, great, we made it on to the pre-show, but that's not good enough. Next year we're going to get on the main show.
Yeah, and it was just great. It was great hearing the stories. Even they first start talking about times in CZW. When would you ever think you would hear the letter CZW on a WWE program?
Right.
And you heard all that. You heard CZW, you heard Ring of Honor, and you just, you know, Dean was talking about how you did X for this, and then if you want to do Fire, you do X. And it's like, wow, they're really going into detail on all that. It's really pretty cool.
It is. It's a really, really good insight into all three men. And like I said, there's more of it. And I wish they would give us more of it, because 23 minutes is not enough. It's super, super awesome in terms of flow. And you're just sitting there listening to it and watching Dean gnaw on food, because again, he has the table manners of a wolf because he was raised by them. I'm convinced of this.
And they talked about how, you know, when the Shield first part was brought up to the main roster, they would all sleep in the same hotel room. Because that's what they would do. They were saving money. And then, like, about a year into it, it's like, you know, we could afford our own rooms, right?
Well, it's like, if you think about it, Dean and Seth are the two indie guys. So they're used to making, like, nothing. Uh-huh. So it's, all right, three guys in a room, we can make this work. And Roman probably just went with it because it's like, okay, you guys know best.
Whatever you got to say.
So it's, somebody had the realization, hey, I don't need to share a room anymore. Let's get our own rooms.
I can sleep in my own bed.
I don't have to sleep on the floor.
Right? It's like, okay. That's the deal. Okay. Got it.
It's basically that realization that wrestlers do not have their shit together as much as you think they do. And that makes you feel so much better.
Makes you feel so much better about things. It really does.
Like, all right, I don't feel too bad now.
I don't feel so bad now. No. Things are not so bad these days.
No. But yeah, watch it, love it, enjoy it.
It's a lot of fun. Again, as Lindsay mentioned, it flows by so fast.
It's like, no, I want more.
Right?
But yeah, speaking of more kicks to the feels.
Okay.
More, I'm not crying, you're crying.
Yeah. So I watch the special Monday night after the post show, and I leave this message for Lindsay on Skype so she would see in the morning at work. The theme of it is, I'm not crying, you're crying. That's it. That's the message I left to her. And your reaction was the same thing. It's, I'm not crying, you're crying.
We're getting ready to talk about the NXT special for WWE 24.
Brooklyn, yeah.
Where they talk about Brooklyn, and you, and I've said this before, where anything you watch on NXT, from the panel to the specials to the actual shows, you see the passion, you see the hunger, and you see the drive of everybody on that roster. And they want to be there. There, and the reason why that brand is the brand that everybody wants to get to is because the talent have made it that.
Oh yeah, everyone wants to be a part of it.
They have started a revolution in wrestling, mm-hmm. where it's, y'all stand back and watch this. It's, because before it was always, developmental never competed with the main roster. They never competed with anybody. You were lucky if you could find developmental matches on YouTube, let alone being able to see them on the WWE Network and have pay-per-views. So it's...
Which they mentioned in the one special, where in the table for three special, where like, because they talked about NXT, and it's like, oh, yeah, we could just see grainy footage on YouTube. Or if you're in that one town in Florida, they got to see it. So it's like, oh, okay. But yeah.
Yeah, and they talk about how crappy the developmental system was before Hunter got there.
And then everything changed.
And then everything changed because Hunter basically got Vince's okay to overhaul NXT and make it what it is now. And you see that Hunter's passion for it trickles down to the wrestlers, because Hunter believes in the product. He is 100% behind the product, and he's going to do whatever he has to do to make it successful and make it work.
Right.
And you see that, where there is a commitment from him that, you know what, this is a brand. I want it to be something special. I want it to be its own deal. I want it to compete with Raw and SmackDown, because I want to show that my people are just as good as the main roster.
Oh, yeah.
And it's that commitment from Hunter and that drive from Hunter that's trickling down to the wrestlers. Mm-hmm. Because the wrestlers are doing the same thing, where it's like, you know what? We're just as good.
Oh, yeah. So let's talk about the special, because there's a lot of things happen. They took us, basically this was the week or so building up to Brooklyn. You got you get different shots of Hunter at the performance center in the big classroom, telling the talent, we just sold out, holy crap. We just sold out 13,000 tickets. And you hear the different people like Paige talk about it, Charlotte talks about it, Becky Lynch talks about it, and you just get the stories from different perspectives, and no one's talked about it. He saw it building, and he just wanted to be a part of it, and he just knew it. And Hunter brought up his goal of the NXT to be the platform for the roster to learn and just be more than developmental. Matt Bloom, aka Jason Albert, he described it sort of like a punk rock and underground type gimmick.
Yeah, it's like indie underground. You're not supposed to know about it, but you know about it, and it's a pretty, pretty cool thing.
It's a really pretty cool thing. You get to see Finn Balor get painted up, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was neat.
You got to see behind the scenes of that. Again, they talked about Hunter showing, you know, telling everyone to kick ass in New York City. You see him go through different towns. And then Owen tells a story about meeting Finn Balor and how they sort of drove together and all this stuff. In NXT, they bonded because they came in around the same time. And you just got to see different things. You got to see, and I'm trying to avoid the I'm not crying, you're crying part of it, because
just get there. Just do it. Just rip the band-aid off, man, because we're getting ready to talk about respect. So, you know,
all right.
Just rip the band-aid off. Just do it.
So they give the backstory on Sasha Banks, and she came into the company. She was 99 pounds when she came into the company. And it was really cool. You got to see Becky Lynch with her mother, and her family showed up, and that was a touching moment. And you got to see Sasha's parents, and you got to see Bayley's mother.
Yeah.
And then they show the match from Brooklyn, and then you got both mothers and families watching it, and like, oh. That's where it's like, it chokes you up, because it's like, oh. if you don't have a heart, it should, this special shows if you have a heart, not if you don't get choked up watching it. Cause it was really, really something special. And Hunter praises both girls throughout, and it's just, and there's one other part that really gets you, is when Bailey is trying to read her poems and everything from middle school and everything, or high school, whenever it was from, about wanting to be a pro wrestler. Like, she tears up trying to go through it.
Yeah, it was gonna get out of my head, cause that's where I was going next, was, what I really liked was they showed everybody's journey, you know, in terms of Kevin Owens and Finn Balor and Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks and Bayley and Charlotte. They talked about their journeys to get here. And in particular, they sold Bayley's desire to be where she is and Sasha's desire to be where she is perfectly. Where you have Bayley sitting there reading essays from when she was in school about how she wanted to be a pro wrestler. You know, Sasha posted up pictures online of stuff she had written saying how she wanted to be a pro wrestler. You know, mm-hmm. You have both their moms talking about it and how proud they are and how happy they are for their daughters, you know, and Becky Lynch's mom included in that. Like, this, I think, was the first time Becky's mom had ever seen her wrestle live.
Yeah, it was.
In person.
Yeah.
Which is insane if you think about it, but mm-hmm. pretty cool. But, you know, just to see the drive and the passion behind the girls.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact of how much they want this. How much this means to them. Like, TakeOver meant a lot to Sasha and Bayley.
Oh, it did, because at that point, she was done.
Yeah, that was it. That was her last match. She was going up on the main roster. But they were saying it on the special, this is going to be the best match, best women's match you've ever seen.
Yeah.
And everybody was saying it, not just Becky and Sasha. Charlotte said it.
Mm-hmm.
I think Finn said it.
They all said it.
Yeah, it's, they want this. They want to do this. This is going to be one for the ages. And they weren't kidding.
Yeah, and then they show the aftermath of the match, and, you know, they come through the curtain. Everyone's giving them a standing ovation. Seth Rollins, you saw him in the crowd. They showed footage of him wiping tears from his eyes.
Yeah, he was, like, overwhelmed with the thought of everybody being so into a women's match and how they had brought the crowd to their feet and shown what wrestling really is supposed to be about and what it is about.
Mm-hmm. Kevin Owens hugged Bayley.
We need to talk about Hunter, the NXT dad, and how proud he was.
Oh, I'm getting there. He hugged Bayley, says it was a tough act to follow. Cesaro praises and everything, and then, oh, Papa Hunter.
Oh, Papa Hunter.
Just talk about it.
He walks up, he's grinning ear to ear, he's beaming, he's so proud of his girls.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, holy crap, that was awesome, and he scoops them both up with both arms and picks them up into this bear hug. Cause he's just like, holy shit, that was awesome!
Mm-hmm.
Like, Hunter's geeking out. He's so, so proud of them.
So proud of his girls, yeah.
Because it's like, if you think about it, they're one of the driving forces of the Divas Revolution. And the thing is like, that match happened with Vince there.
Vince was watching, yeah. Vince watched the entire thing. He congratulated them both. They didn't show that part, because they were trying not to show Vince in this whole thing. But there was, like, one spot where you actually saw him.
You saw he was backstage, but yeah, this whole show and the match between Bayley and Sasha happened in front of Vince. And it's like, this is the proof. Women can do this.
Mm-hmm.
They can do it well. They can bring a crowd to their feet. They can get people into it. You just have to give them the chance. And I liked that message. That's like, just give them a chance. Let them try and see what you get. And you'll get this.
Right. And one other thing we need to mention. Kevin Owens and his kid.
Oh my god. Kevin Owens and his son.
So,
why didn't you do my entrance for me? All you gotta do is, you know, bump your head around.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause his kid was there going through the entrance and everything. It was awesome.
Yeah, I liked how they showed them practicing the entrances.
Yeah. It was great. This whole, go out of your way and see it.
Yeah. Watch the WWE 24 special. Watch the Table for Three special. They're well worth it. They're very, very well done, especially the WWE 24 special. because you get to see the behind the scenes stuff, but it's not enough that it breaks any kind of illusion.
No, if you're worried about that, no.
Like, you don't see all the backstage secrets, but they follow certain people around throughout that day, and you see kind of what they went through leading up to the show.
Yeah.
The aftermath of what happened, because it's like, you could almost tell with Balor and Owens that they knew they didn't follow the women's match.
It was a tough act to follow.
Yeah, it was a very tough act to follow. They did their best, man, but it's just like, they couldn't get it done. But Finn was like, yeah, I could have gone for another 30 minutes, man. This was awesome. It's like, Finn, no. Stop. No.
You're not allowed to do the thing. No.
You're not allowed to do the thing. You will hurt yourself.
But yeah, overall, this was a great, great, great special. You gotta go out of your way to see it. That's all I gotta say.
That's definitely all I gotta say on it too. So I say we take our second and final break of the evening, because the kick to the feels has just begun. When we come back, we are going to be talking all about last night's NXT TakeOver Respect, including the 30-minute Iron Man match between Bayley and Sasha Banks for the NXT Women's Championship. You don't want to miss it. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We will be right back.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com, and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MVG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of the Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with the Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply thebomb.com.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Dwight Hendrickson from Haven, and you are listening to The Rack.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And, well, our NXT gauntlet continues. We were talking about the NXT WWE 24 special a little while ago, and now we are going to give our reactions to NXT TakeOver Respect. Yes.
Oh my goodness, last night. Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god.
Holy crap. Holy crap.
Yeah.
That is the only way to describe this show. This was worth the wait on all levels. This lived up to the hype. Absolutely. 100% lived up to the hype. We saw some great wrestling, some great storytelling last night. Where do you want to start?
Let's start at the beginning.
Fair enough. Let's start at the beginning.
Because it all builds to the main event, and we'll get to the main event.
Yeah, we'll get to the main event.
Alright, so tonight was about two things. It was about the women, and it was about the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic.
And before he starts, the theme of tonight's show, right in the feels.
It's not NXT TakeOver Respect, it's NXT TakeOver Right in the Fields. Feels.
Seriously. That's exactly what tonight was, or last night was, right in the fields.
So, before we begin and talk about everything, they had a simple stage for the show.
They did.
It was low-key, simple, basic, perfect, I thought.
Oh, I thought it was great. I will say that after seeing NXT in Brooklyn, that seeing it back at Full Sail, it takes a little bit of something away from it, just because you've seen what NXT can be, and it's like, I want that. But tonight was, or I should say last night, I keep wanting to say tonight.
I don't know why.
I don't know why. It feels like Wednesday to me. But
I the best way to compare it, it's like when TNA did their shows in big arenas and then went back to Universal for pay-per-views.
Yeah, it's just, it takes something away from it a little bit to me. But it didn't take away much because the wrestling and the crowd were spot on.
They were spot on. And as I mentioned, it was about the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. Get to the final. We'll get to how they presented the trophy and everything. But I want to talk about the trophy for a second. You had Dusty Rhodes boots in there. You had a nice, simple trophy. It was a huge, huge trophy. I thought it was awesome looking.
It's a tall trophy. Oh, yeah. They put some money into that. You know, you cannot say that they did not do this right.
Oh, no.
They did this right.
Yeah.
And they had it out on display for everybody to see. It was, and it's a pretty trophy.
It's a very pretty trophy. So the first semifinal match was Dash and Dawson taking on Finn Balor and Samoa Joe. And to everyone's surprise, there was no Demon tonight.
No, the Demon did not come out to play. Instead, Finn wore his itty-bitty black trunks and his oh-so-fine leather jacket and his title.
Yeah. Some key notes from the match. Dash and Dawson kept saving each other from big moves early on. And then they turned focus on the knee of Finn Balor after a chop block. They would just continue to work over the knee for a good period of the match. And Finn sold his knee pretty well.
Sold it in the match, sold it later in the show, which we'll talk about here in a few minutes. But yeah, very, very nice job selling on Finn Balor's part.
And it makes you wonder, with a bad knee, why he went out for the double stomp, which he did after Joe hit the muscle buster. And then he hit the double stomp. 1, 2, 3. Joe and Finn Balor move on. But there was some concern on Samoa Joe's part where, can my partner go? Can my partner actually go? Because his knee is really screwed up.
Yep. And what am I going to do if I have to find another partner? I hope there's somebody randomly backstage that I can just go find. No, he didn't have to do that, but.
Though it did cross my mind for a minute. It did.
Right? Just a minute, yeah.
It's like, Finn's hurt. Huh. Could there be a storm brewing? What?
Maybe.
It didn't happen at TakeOver.
No, they're saving the cowboy for later, maybe.
Maybe. We'll see. The other semifinal match was Jason Jordan and Chad Gable versus Baron Corbin and Rhino. For me, the moment of the night, excluding the women's match, was the crowd singing Kurt Angle's theme by saying the word Gable.
Yeah, it took you a minute, and then you're like, are they really singing Gable's name to Angle's theme? That's awesome.
We also had a Save the Gable chant.
Yes. Yes, we did.
The crowd was really into Chad Gable in this match, and he was quite impressive.
He was quite impressive. This was a great, great match. This was right on par with the first match, the Balor match. I actually thought it was a little bit better just because it was a little bit more aggressive.
This was a little bit more physical, and these two teams matched up perfectly with one another. Gable had a nice armbar on Rhino on the ropes, They worked over Gable for a while to Corbin and Rhino. Rhino missed a big splash off the top rope. It's like, Rhino, why are you going to the top? You're not a luchador. But he decided to do it. He missed. Jordan got the hot tag. He had a nice, there was a nice spinning side slam by Corbin on Gable for a long two count. And then the most impressive move of the match, the roll through bridging German suplex by Gable on Corbin. Man.
Oh, that was pretty. That was absolutely pretty. Mm-hmm. Well done on his part.
And you know, the fans were chanting Kurt Angle's name, or doing Kurt Angle's theme for Gable, but the person who looked like Kurt Angle in this match was Jason Jordan.
Yeah.
He had some Kurt Angle mannerisms down in this one. Gordon Jordan, though, end of days, out of nowhere, as the announcer said, Rhino and Corbin pick up the win.
So they move on to the finals, and well, gee, wonder who picked that right.
This is where the first damn it in our conversation went last night.
No, I believe it was screw you and then damn it.
Something to that effect. Cause it then ruined my finals prediction, cause I had Jason Jordan and Chad Gable going all the way, but no, oh no, they lose here. And I was like, damn it. Oh, damn it.
Ha ha.
At one point there was a Kevin Nash sliding in the crowd.
There was. I couldn't figure out if he was hugging his son or who he was hugging, but.
He hugged somebody.
He hugged somebody. There was much love tonight.
Yeah, that is a theme. But there was no love in our next match. Asuka versus Dana Brooke.
Okay, there was a Asuka's gonna kill you chant. There was a you fucked up chant.
Not because they screwed up.
No, because Dana Brooke did something stupid and Asuka was getting ready to kill her. This made my ovaries glow. Made me so happy.
We had Asuka City chant too.
Yeah, Asuka City.
One bad move by Dana Brooke was patting Asuka on the head. You don't pat Asuka on the head.
You never pat Asuka on the head.
She went on a rampage after that.
She kicked her in the face like 4 times.
And then mocked Dana.
Yes. And mocking Dana was absolutely amazing on Asuka's part. I'm in love with Asuka. I need more of her, please.
She went for a nice armbar. Emma trapped Asuka in an apron. Didn't really do much to slow Asuka down. It was an ankle lock. Dana got to her feet. Right into a German suplex by Asuka. Armbar, Dana rolls out of it. Asuka never really lets go of a hold. Emma got on the apron, got kicked off. There was an ankle lock attempt, I mentioned, yes. And then the Asuka lock, aka the cross-face chicken wing, has returned. And Dana Brooke taps out.
I love this match because Asuka was able to show her wrestling ability. She was able to show her striking ability. She was matching Dana hold for hold. She had a counter for everything. She was mixing submission and striking and wrestling. It was just a really, really, really nice display of her ability. And Dana was a good partner for her because Dana's still learning, but she helped Dana through it and Dana made her look really good.
Yeah. Hand, round of applause to Dana Brooke for taking that beating. Not many could take that beating and look good taking the beating. She looked good taking the beating.
Yeah, especially after the match because she got kicked in the face again after the match.
Mm-hmm. It's another bad mistake by Dana Brooke. You don't go after her.
Yeah, just, you know, take your beating and walk away if you can. And after the match, Asuka stared down Emma like, you wanna go?
The death look. It's like, you wanna go?
She smiles at you, you just walk away. You hang your head, you apologize immediately, and you just run. She's about ready to kill you. I've just determined this. But she's awesome. And she made a hell of an entrance.
She did make a hell of an entrance. It was great. It was, yeah, really, really, really great debut for Asuka.
It made my ovaries glow.
Her music is good too.
Her music is good too, yeah. Just so much women's wrestling tonight. So much. Which I know there was only like 2 matches, but if you think about it.
It was important women's wrestling.
It was important women's wrestling, and the women's wrestling in their 2 matches, I think, was the same amount of time as the guys on the whole show. Close.
No, because the tag matches. No.
Because Asuka got about, what, 10, 15 minutes?
I got about 10 minutes. So.
Okay, yeah, I felt longer than that.
It felt longer. It was felt longer.
Maybe with everything, it's probably closer to 15.
It was just a beating that just was awesome.
Yeah, the beating, it was exactly what I expected. It was exactly what I wanted, and I was very happy with it. And just, again, she's... God, please don't screw her up. Please, WWE, do not screw her up, because she's amazing.
There are part of me that goes, damn it, why are Charlotte and Becky and Sasha on the main roster right now?
Right?
Damn it. But then it's like, oh, there's Bayley still.
Oh, Kevin.
Anyway.
So what's next?
Alright, so you asked what's next. What's next is Tyler Breeze versus Apollo Crews. This was a really good match. Tyler came out strong in this one.
Tyler did come out strong. He came out of House of Fire, but Apollo was ready for him, and he was waiting for him. And Apollo seemed to match him blow for blow.
But Tyler matched him blow for blow, too. We had a nice stalling vertical suplex by Crews. Breeze dumped him to the outside. He sent him hard into the side of the ring, which was impressive. We had a sharpshooter by Tyler Breeze. There was a nice hurricanrana by Breeze. There was a hard kick right to the back of the head. The refs checked on Breeze. Crews did a flip, landed on his feet. Supermodel kick for a two count. Tyler got caught coming off the top rope into a power slam for a two count. We had the press slam. Breeze, though, holds onto the foot. Moonsault, knees up, small package, two count. And at this point, I thought Tyler was going to get him off of that. Because that was a great, great false finish.
It was a wonderful false finish.
It's like, they had you. They had me on that one. I thought, oh, he's got him there. He kicked out. He got aggressive, repeated forearms in the corner. Crews gets the boot up with, gets a big boot, running, spinning, powerbomb, three count, Crews wins. This was really good.
It was really good. It was a little surprising that Apollo Crews won, just because you would think that Tyler Breeze would get a win at some point on one of the specials. He's kind of been on a bit of a losing streak, and it feels like he's always the bridesmaid, never the bride.
He's the number two, number three heel in the company. He's the stepping stone of the NXT roster, where they put everyone good against him, and they have really good matches, but he never gets the big win on the TakeOver specials. I don't think he's ever gotten a TakeOver special win.
No, I don't think he has.
Because he lost to Finn, he's lost to Liger last time around. Yeah. And he lost a ton of matches. Tyler is special, and he put on a good performance tonight.
He did. He really did.
And Apollo Crews showed some new stuff, which was what you need to see. You need to see growth in him as he continues on.
I agree.
We then have the finals. Rhino and Corbin versus Samoa Joe and Finn Balor. I thought this was the weakest of the three matches.
This was not as good as I thought it was going to be. I did like how Finn sold his knee through the whole match.
There was good storytelling, yes.
There was good storytelling. I feel a little bad for Baron Corbin, because it's like, it's Finn Balor, it's Samoa Joe, it's Rhino, and then Baron Corbin.
And then there's Corbin.
He's just kind of stuck in the middle of all this. It's like, aw, you poor thing. But no, it was a good match.
It was a good match, but I don't think you bought Corbin and Rhino winning. I think that was the problem.
Yeah, it's like once that match got decided, it's like, oh yeah, Balor and Joe are going to win this. They're going all the way.
There was a Finn hit a sling blade made a hot tag Joe. There's a gore for a two count. Balor takes out Corbin. Rhino shoves Balor off the apron. Gore kicked to the face. We then get the muscle buster double stomp. Your winners. And the winners of the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic are Samoa Joe and Finn Balor. Eden was the ring announcer, and then they kicked you in the feels, having Cody and Dustin in the ring. Cody gave this speech about his father. Oh, man.
Yeah, it's like, this whole thing was the first right in the feels part of this show, because it was like, you have a whole family there, Cody, Dustin, the sister, and Dusty's wife. They had the trophy. Hunter was out there. They presented the trophy to Balor and Joe. They're all smiling. Cody gives this amazing speech about his father, and they have pictures of Dusty up everywhere. You're just like, oh, man, right. Just like right in the feels. God.
And the signature line was, we're all Rhodes tonight.
Yes. Yes. Yes, we are.
It was a great speech by Cody. Really, really great.
And very touching. And well, we heard the iconic cowbell one more time.
Yes, 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 we did.
I missed it.
Oh, yeah. That was... And they used Dusty's voice at the beginning of the finals.
Yeah.
It's like, damn it.
It's like, oh, this is gonna hurt.
Mm-hmm. And we talk about Fields. We go to Fields. 30 minutes. Iron Man match for the NXT Women's Championship. Bayley versus Sasha Banks.
In the main event of the show.
The main event. The nerves on both women's faces coming to the ring.
There were so many emotions in this match.
Oh, yeah.
And it was because it's, you can tell, they're nervous. Mm-hmm. They're the main event. Everything is riding on them doing this right. Because basically it's, all right, we're going to see if Brooklyn was a fluke or not in terms of it being a really, really, really supremely good match. Because this is them testing the waters. Because it's basically, okay, if we can prove that two women can successfully main event a network special, then what are the odds that we can get two women to main event a WWE pay-per-view?
Or at the very least, Monday Night Raw.
Or at the very least, Monday Night Raw, which they have done recently.
Yeah, but they have not, yeah, somewhat, yes. But, you know,
in some manner speaking, but actually main evented.
As the featured match, as the main event, yeah.
Yes.
So
you have all that writing. Sorry to cut you off.
No, that's good. You have all that writing in this one match. We're going to break this down piece by piece.
We should also mention it's Sasha's last match in NXT.
We believe.
Unless they're going to take her to London, which I don't know if they are or they aren't.
She wants to, but I don't think she's going. Anyway, first off, Bayley has a cape.
Bayley has a cape! I still like the streamers, but Bayley has a cape, and it's adorable.
This is what happens when you get a champion's budget.
Right? She got new gear, new cape. She's got to dress it up for the shiny, shiny, pretty, pretty.
It's the same inflatable hands, though. It's awesome.
Of course.
All right.
You know, you can't upgrade the wacky, waveable, inflatable tube men.
The only way to upgrade them is get them belts.
Bigger ones. And, well, the NXT. NXT must break. God, just think of when she comes out on Raw. They get these huge ones for her.
I know.
It's going to be amazing.
So, we're going to break this bit down minute by minute. No, not really. But, the first minute, they just stared at one another. Walked around the ring, staring at one another.
Talking smack.
Feeling each other out. Going, oh. And you saw their faces like, oh crap.
What do we do?
So they took the nerve, got rid of the nerves for a minute, and went right for it. Multiple pins by both women in the next 2 minutes. They went for finishers, blocked. Both women blocked them. And as was mentioned, the facial reactions told the story early on.
Oh, yeah.
And one bad move by Bayley, she offered her hand, brought Sasha up, went for a hug, and then Sasha kicked into boss mode.
And took advantage.
Took her down. Bayley though was able to hit the running drop kick through the rope, through the post twice. Remember that spot, because it comes back later. Poke to the eyes though, schoolgirl, first fall, Sasha Banks.
And well, everyone was a little surprised, but I liked how they fought for the first fall. I like how they made the first fall important. They did not throw it away. And that's the one thing you have to say about every fall that was gotten in this match.
They were
not throwaways.
No, because usually in multiple fall matches for WWE, the first fall is always thrown away, but this one wasn't.
Which was
well done.
And they were spaced out too, which was really nice.
They hit the first couple because a minute later, Bayley got the second fall. Sasha went for the double knees, thrown into the top turnbuckle, forearm by Sasha. We hit the Bayley to belly, second fall went to Bayley a minute or so later. So we're squared away, back to even. It caught Sasha off guard and she was like, damn it, she got me. She wasn't ready for it, she got taken for one. Bayley went for a drop kick again. Sasha caught her and slammed her into the steps. Bayley gets thrown in the steps twice more, and then Sasha starts trash talking Bayley's family. That's key. She starts trash talking Bayley's family. She then tossed Bayley into the set wall. They did a gimmick where it all did the multiple, you know, breaking screen thingy gimmick. Malfunction gimmick. So Bayley's down. Sasha then steals Izzy's headband.
It makes her cry.
She made a little girl cry at TakeOver.
She's hit the heel status of making small children cry.
Like, seriously, She was bawling.
She was so upset, and her dad's trying to comfort her, and he's like, damn it, how do I tell her it's not real without telling her it's not real?
You can't break it. You can't do that.
You can't break it, because it's so real to her, and she's so into Bailey. And this is what helped to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
Is it's just Sasha was so good as a heel. Because she was in the ring, she put the headband on, she's mocking Bailey, she's mocking Izzy, she's mocking everybody. She's just owning it. As the ref is doing his 10 count and Bailey is unable to get back to the ring.
Yeah, third fall went to Sasha via count out. Yeah, it was great. Great storytelling and yeah. I don't know other way to describe it than it was just great. I know it sucks to make a little kid cry, but that's pro wrestling.
That's wrestling in a nutshell is she's a heel. She's supposed to be a bad guy. You're not supposed to like her. And she has to remind people of that. And it's, you know what? If this is what gets me over, if this is what I have to do, then this is what I'm going to do. That was some old school moves right there that you don't see a lot of people do anymore because it's, she's getting the fans invested because she's going after Bailey's number one fan. Essentially going after the crowd.
Right, which they've done a great job telling that story. And if you think back, that goes back to Bailey's first return back to NXT since when she won the title. They did the celebration with Bailey with Izzy in the ring, so it ties the story together.
Right.
So we had the Boston Crab Lion Tamer gimmick by Sasha Banks. She was stomping on Bailey's hand and head, but again, Bailey surprises her with a roll up. Bailey ties the match. So we're at 2-2 with less than 10 minutes to go. And then things just picked up from there. Bailey blocks the double knees, running back elbows. Bailey with a flying elbow from the middle for a 2 count. Tria Woe with the one running elbow for a 2 count. Double knees as Bailey gets caught in the Tria Woe. Bailey's tied up in the top rope. Sasha goes charging in, shoulder first into post. And then Bailey goes after Sasha's hand.
Payback sucks. Payback really sucks. And Bailey is slamming Sasha's hand on the steps multiple times over. For a second, we thought she was going to pinch it in the steps, but no, she's not that mean.
No, she's not. Bailey, though, moves the steps because we kept thinking she's going to do a dive. She's going to do this dive over the rope. She's going to try it. Oh,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, you're waiting for the dive.
Oh, no. Instead, she runs up the steps and dives with a clothesline because that's how Bailey rolls.
She's not too high risk.
No, she does high risk, but diving is not her strong suit.
Yeah, she's kind of like me. She just sort of jumps and hopes she doesn't belly flop, so I totally feel her pain on that.
Right. Sasha kicked her back into the steps. Sasha dives, gets caught belly to belly on the outside. Bailey gets her back in the ring at 2 count. Sasha gets put on the top rope. Bailey to belly from the top, but the foot's on the rope for a 2 count.
So it doesn't count.
It doesn't count. So we then go to the Brooklyn spot. The reverse Frankensteiner. They're building to it. She's up on the top. There it is. Reverse Frankensteiner. No. Sasha lands on her feet.
Which was nice.
Hits the Bailey to belly by Sasha on Bailey for a 2 count. And then we hit the bank statement. And Bailey's in trouble. She's in trouble. She's trying to crawl to those ropes. She's trying to get there. She's trying to.
And we should note that there's about 2 minutes left on the clock at this point.
Yeah, we're about 2 minutes to go. She's trying to get to the ropes. She escaped for a second and gets put back on. She eventually escapes, spikes the hand of Sasha into the mat that she worked over earlier because that's why she couldn't get it on fully the second time because of the injured hand. Bank statement then gets reversed. Armbar by Bailey. 3, 2, tap out.
And we should note that Bailey was grabbing hold of the injured hand and twisting it back.
Yeah, on the armbar. Yeah. She was just trying to break the hand with 3 seconds to go. Sasha taps. It's over.
And still your NXT women's champion, Bailey.
Before we get to what else happened, just react.
This match was great. It was absolutely fantastic. I love the false finishes. I love the way that they did the falls. I loved how they timed it out. It was a really, really, really well thought out, well paced, well done match. That being said, I think in terms of how they did it, it was equal to TakeOver in Brooklyn. The match was equally as good in terms of crafting and storytelling and moves and everything that they did. But the emotional investment wasn't as high because it wasn't Bayley trying to get her big win. Like, TakeOver in Brooklyn was Bayley finally succeeding.
And the bigger crowd helped.
Here it was Bayley proving her point that she is the best in NXT and Sasha needs to move on. That it's, you're no longer the best. I am. And I'm going to prove it to you tonight. And she proved it. Without a shadow of a doubt, Bayley proved she is the best in NXT. She kept her title. And they lived up to every expectation of this being the main event and more. They did a wonderful, wonderful job with this. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. Like, it makes my heart sing with the fact that we had so much women's wrestling on the show tonight, and it was all important. It all mattered. It wasn't a throwaway. It was, we had two quality, well-timed, well-thought-out, well-executed matches with some great storytelling in them. And I can't ask for any more than that.
When we watched this together last night, and we just sat here going, I want more. I want more. Can this go right? 5 more minutes? I don't want this to end.
We're sitting here and we're watching it and it's like, oh, it's going to sudden death. It's going to sudden death. It has to go to sudden death. They've got time. They can do it. And then she put the submission hold on and she twists that hand back and it's like, oh, that's it.
That's it. But it's like, you just wanted 5 more minutes because it was so good. So, so damn good.
And that's the thing, is the pacing is they started out slow and it built and it built and it built until it was this frantic, I have to do something. I have to get that last fall. I have to do it before time expires.
Yeah.
I have to put her away. Mm-hmm. And that was great because it was, as you said, they're kind of tiptoeing around each other. It's, they have to figure out what they have to do to the other to succeed. And it got to a point where it's like, well, I just have to mess you up as much as I can. And that's when we started going on the outside. That's when people started getting thrown into steel steps and into screens and onto the apron and everything else, where they did some pretty high risk spots that were just beautiful in terms of the match.
The bigger moment was at Brooklyn for Bayley. The bigger moment for the roster was this.
Oh, this was a kick to the feels based on what happened after the match. This was a complete kick to the feels because this was potentially Sasha's last match in NXT, especially with the way that they were acting. This was it. Because after the match, you have the entire NXT roster, Hunter, Stephanie, the trainers, all out there applauding them for a job well done. They're standing there with flowers. Sasha makes it to up the ramp to where they all are. They hand her the flowers and she breaks down and just starts bawling right there. Hunter and Steph carry Hunter at least carries the flowers to the ring for Bayley, hands them the Bayley, holds up her hand in a sign of victory, which is a statement by Hunter.
I think it was in the special that we watched and we talked about earlier. Hunter wants to get the emotion out of Sasha.
It was the panel, right?
Cause they're both awesome, as we talked about earlier. He wanted, like, when Sasha won the title, to get emotion out of her, and she wouldn't give it to him. She held it in until she got to the back. He was like, damn it.
Right?
So he did his darndest, cause this is the last time he gets her at NXT. He got her to cry.
Like, before you go, I will get you to cry. Damn it. I will do it. I will succeed. And she just like drops to her knees and she just kind of collapses and just starts to cry. And they're all like, Sasha, get up. And she's like, I'm sorry. I need a minute. But yeah, it was just, and this was a kick right to the feels. And this match was a statement where it's, the Divas Revolution is alive and well in NXT. Sasha's on her way now. But what everybody needs to watch out for is Bayley. Because Bayley is something special. And if they do Bayley right, they could have their next top star in their hands. She could easily be the female John Cena.
Talked about earlier. Yeah.
Very easily could be the female John Cena. And they know it. That's the thing. Hunter knows what he's got in Bailey. I think the company does, and whatever they do for her is going to be very special. Because instead of coming up in the Divas Revolution team setting, Bailey will come up on her own. And Bailey will have the difficult task of standing on her own, but she'll have the advantage of standing on her own.
I agree with that 110%.
But yeah, this was a great, great show. Worth the wait.
I love the flower. Again, the flowers were, it was a nice touch. Hunter raising her hand was a great, great touch. There's, it makes you just want more of it. And you just know, you know how young they are and you know what the future holds. It's like, this is this is special.
And the thing is it's like we may have to wait a little while, but once Hunter gets his hands on the main roster, oh, dude, watch out.
And again, props to both Bailey and Sasha. Bailey got her moment in Brooklyn. That was her big moment. It was special. It was emotional. We talked about it earlier. I'm not crying. You're crying. The Brooklyn special.
Right?
Talked about that earlier tonight.
Kick to the feels, man.
This didn't have that as fully because you knew... The problem was this outcome... The only difference is this outcome was not in doubt. It was a little bit, but it really wasn't. This was about Bailey becoming the woman in NXT.
Yeah, this was the passing of the torch. That's what this was, is they gave Bailey the title. She had her big win. She had her moment in Brooklyn. Now it's Sasha passing the torch to Bailey. Charlotte and Becky were there at ringside watching the match with Lita and Stephanie. This was about, we're leaving. We're leaving it with you. Don't let it go out. And this was Sasha's farewell to NXT. She's on her way now to the main roster. And Bailey's the one that's getting left behind. And it's, you have to make sure you keep it alive.
And with Asuka, with Asuka.
Oh God, with Asuka.
With Dana, with Emma, we're good.
We're good. Yeah, we're good.
Throw in the evil Sparkle Fairy, we're good.
Well, yeah, especially with the evil Sparkle Fairy. Yeah, we're good.
We're good hands. We're in really, really good hands. This is the point of the show. God damn it, god damn it, god damn it. where we just go like this. We all picked Bailey. Yay. We all picked Joe and Baylor. Yay. You picked Rhino and Corbin. I picked Jordan and Gable. You picked Joe and Baylor. We both picked Asuka. We both picked Cruz. She did better than me.
I did perfect. I didn't miss one, thank you very much. I feel the glare from here. but, I beat the 8-ball. I beat the 8-ball.
You feel happy now?
I feel awesome now. My Falcons are 4-0.
Alright.
The 8-ball.
You know, really, really.
The Yankees lost.
Yeah, who cares about the Yankees?
I just want to say, hey, Nikki, wait to them for going all the way.
But I say that does it for this week. What about you?
I say that does it as well.
And we're going out with the champ.
The champ is here, y'all. The champ is here. So, we have stuff to plug, so plug away.
Check out The Rack Extra Season 4, Episode 13, the season finale now available. Yes, it is finally available. Go listen to it at Rack Radio Show and WildTalkRadio.com. You can follow the show on Twitter at Rack Radio Show, Facebook.com/Rack Radio Show, YouTube.com/Rack Radio Show. Saturday Night Midnight Dishes, CB Rated, Weird, the Wacky, the Unusual. Go back and listen to last week's episode with Canadian hockey insider Tim Stein as hockey season has officially begun. Woohoo.
Yay.
At CB Radio Live on Facebook and Twitter, #BlameRob. CBRadioLive.com. Sunday Night Russell Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Mason Omega returns at 10 p.m. Eastern. At WTR Sunday Night on Twitter, Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio. Monday Night's Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. And we'll be right back here for another edition of Rack at 10 p.m. Eastern right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Join the Facebook group, Facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network. Get us on iTunes and Stitcher, Rack Radio Show, or Wild Talk Radio Network, as well as TuneIn Radio, search Wild Talk Radio Network, and check out Lindsay's Survival Guide to Dragon Con, now available at RackRadioShow.com.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LANSWRD, and go to my website, segwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitter. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsors, PWMania.com, TNAsylum.net, The Haven for TNA fans, and Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!